Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 28? Jeremiah chapter 28. What should you be wearing? What should I be wearing when I'm going to, well, what should you be wearing when you go to church? Or what about when you go to a banquet? Or when you go to work? Or what about if you're going to the G8 summit or the G20? Or if you were going before the United Nations? Last Lord's Day, we saw that Jeremiah was at the equivalent of the United Nations, and he went in there wearing a yoke on his shoulders, around his neck, and had it strapped around his neck, and he wore this yoke as he spoke before the international leaders, Jeremiah chapter 27. As he spoke, he walked out of the meeting eventually, but having walked out of the meeting, he didn't take the yoke off. He continued to wear it, and he wore it about the city. He wore it about Jerusalem. And as he's wearing this yoke, people are wondering, what in the world is this all about? Now, you just tell me, have you seen people in some pretty strange things in the city of London? Yeah. Have you ever seen somebody walk around with a piece of wood over their shoulders strapped around them? Even our resident who has attended all sorts of theatrical performances and so on is shaking her head no. She hasn't even seen that. And it's a reminder. Jeremiah would have been a spectacle in his day too. But he's walking around with this yoke on him, and as he is wearing the yoke, it was a warning to the people. Now, as he wore this, it drew attention, and it was his intention to draw attention. It was God's intention to draw attention. What's he wearing that for? When will he learn to dress normal? Oh, come on. When's this guy finally going to get his act together and behave like he should in public? And Jeremiah continued to wear the yoke. He'd given the message to kings, but not only for Israel, but also to the surrounding nations in chapter 27, verses 4 through 11, as we saw last time. The reminder was that God is sovereign, and God is the one who raises nations, and he raises governments. Governments are subject to his rule. They are not autonomous. They are not free to do their own thing. They are ultimately accountable to God. God's truth will stand amidst the false messages of those who rise and show themselves dominant and powerful. Verses 8 through 11 describe that. And then he addressed the immediate political leaders in verses 12 through 15. And he looked at them with varied messages, and he pointed to them, and he appealed to them to turn back to the Lord, and particularly to Zedekiah. And he asked him, oh, won't you turn back to the Lord? Won't you repent? Please, look to the Lord. Trust him. Zedekiah, of course, had his own act, his own preference. He wasn't about to hear that. Then he had spoken to the religious leaders also, verses 18 through 22. And he called upon them, who were the religious and the up and coming and the powerful ones. He said to them, will you hear? Will you give attention? Will you give heed? We don't have to pay attention to this. We're not going to bother. No, he wasn't about to back away. Was there any reaction to this? Oh, yes. There was massive reaction to it. They began in terms of the reaction of the religious leaders. Who of us, who of our guild is going to take this guy Jeremiah on? Listen to what he's saying. Look at him. He's walking around the streets and he's carrying this yoke on his shoulders. And he keeps coming and he comes to us with this message. All right, who's going to take him on? And Hananiah steps forward. I'm going to silence him. I'm going to, yes, drum roll. Yes, I'm the guy. And Hananiah steps forward. He's going to challenge Jeremiah. And so we come to verses 1 through 4 of chapter 28. In this challenge, we come to the challenge to Jeremiah's message, verses 1 through 4. Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet from Gibeon. Now, this is the same area as King Saul was from. And he comes from this area, and he shows himself to be a speaker. It's a public confrontation. It's before the priests and the people. It's one of those things where he's calling this news conference, he's calling this confrontational event, he's calling them together and he's saying, I'm going to show that Jeremiah is false, he's wrong, he's deluded, you don't have to listen to him. Now remember, there was no live stream, and there was no Facebook at that point in time. You didn't have CNN coming with their cameras rolling, or BBC. No. But there they were in this confrontation. Now he professed that God had broken the yoke of Babylon. And look with me at what it says in chapter 28. And it came to pass in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hanani, the son of Azur, the prophet, which is of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests, and of all the people, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house. That Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Now, he says that in this, the yoke is going to be broken of the king of Babylon within 2 years. He gives a time measure on that. And then he says that the vessels of worship, as we spoke about last week, that instead of having any idols to bring back or any images, because all they had were the objects that they used for worship, they brought them back. That was a symbol that they were in charge, that they were in power over the God of the Bible. And then he said that Jeconiah, who was the deposed king, who had been taken, he had surrendered to Nebuchadnezzar, he was taken into captivity and he was being held in prison in Babylon, he said he's going to return. And then all the captives would be returned also. So this is going to be a great day. Everything's going to be resolved. Yes, the yoke is going to be broken. Now the question is, was he speaking in faith? Was he speaking of saying, well, you know, remember what happened in the days of Hezekiah? Sennacherib comes, Isaiah chapters 38 and 39. We will not turn there this evening, but I encourage you to read those chapters at some point in time. But Sennacherib comes and he surrounds Jerusalem, and poor Hezekiah was shut up like a bird in a cage. And if you go to the British Museum, you actually see that the inscription there of Sennacherib, in which he says that. He tells about all of his victories with all these other places and how he wiped them out and he took them in. But with Hezekiah, all he could say was he shut him up like a bird in the cage. Hezekiah went to the Lord, and he cried to the Lord. And the Lord gave deliverance so that Sennacherib was driven away and defeated, and Israel was preserved. Why? Well, God's temple was there, and the place of worship was there. And so the question comes back, was it an element where in faith, Hananiah was speaking of saying, I believe that God did this before and God can do it again? Well, there's some that debate in that way. I don't know that we can say that. He claimed to be speaking for God, for the covenant Lord. It certainly appears that he was speaking rather from presumption and from his imagination. Yes, all is going to work out. All is going to be beautiful. Yes, there will be no more problems. We've got things settled between us and God. Well, that brings me then to the second point, and that is the response of Jeremiah in verses 5 through 9. Verse 5, Jeremiah stood his ground. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord,
Even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in thine ears, and in the ears of all the people, the prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. In verses 5 through 9, we find this matter of his voice being raised. He stood his ground. He voiced a desire for Hananiah to be right. Verse 6. Oh, he says, Oh, Hananiah, I really hope, I really wish that it would be true. Oh, may it be just as you have said. Oh, Hananiah, listen to this. Yes, you're saying, and he says, Amen. May it be true. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words, which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Oh, he's saying, I want that to be true. May it be so. Jeremiah understood that when these things come down, that the Lord's people, those who have been faithful to the Lord, do not walk away with an asbestos suit or with a special protected suit on and suffer no consequences of it. When the rain falls, it falls on the just and the unjust. So the flooding in Taiwan and in Manila has taken out homes and places and businesses of Christians as well as of non-Christians. That's the reality of it. So Jeremiah looks on and he doesn't have any sense of saying, yes, bring it on. Oh, let's see this place wiped out. No, he looks on with a deep anguish and he says, oh, may it be so. May you be right. But then he explained, verses 7 and 8, nevertheless, hear thou now the word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. Then he describes this matter of the prophets. He explained the history of the prophets of Israel. Their predominant work was to speak God's message from Scripture. Now turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. And I want you to see this matter of what the prophet was expected, or what was anticipated of the prophet. Look with me at verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, let us go, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. That prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Oh, you see what happens there. Deuteronomy, Moses says to the people, if that prophet arises and he says something and he predicts it and it even comes to pass, he said, but he says, let us follow another God. He said, don't you follow that prophet.
That prophet is a false prophet. He's leading you astray. He's seeking to destroy your faith. He's seeking to destroy your confidence. And he needs to be put to death. He is a false prophet. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Look with me at verse 20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know that the word which the Lord hath not spoken, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is, the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. If it doesn't come to pass 100% accuracy, he says that is a false prophet. Do not follow him. Do not follow her. Regardless of whatever else they have, they are false prophets. So, Jeremiah responds by saying, in the history of the prophets, the prophet's predominant work was to speak for God, not to foretell the future. That was the dominant thing, was to draw the people back to the Word of God, to call them back to obedience to the covenant God that they professed to know. Their work was only minimally the matter of foretelling the future. Hananiah's message, however, was one that was creatively invented. Oh, if you were to put it on the charts of that day and time, he would have been a popular preacher. He would have had all sorts of accolades because, why, look at this loser of Jeremiah. He's got only doom and gloom. But let's listen to Hananiah. Oh, wow, this is our guy. Yes, look at him. He's taking on Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, the only way that you can know the validity of the prophet is if it happens, if it comes to pass. Look at verse 9 of Jeremiah chapter 28 once again. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Jeremiah says, if it happens, we'll know this guy is for real. The stakes are now raised. Who really speaks for God? Back in verse 6, you notice that in the first part of the verse, it says, amen! So that means, oh, may it be true, may it be right. But he comes down to the end, and he says here in verse 9, if that comes to pass, then you know that the prophet, if it comes to pass, that then shall it be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. And the implication is, if it doesn't come to pass, then it is because he is not true. That brings me then to my third point this evening, the reaction of Hananiah. Verse 10. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, then from the neck of all the nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. This was a tough day for Jeremiah. There he is. He's been wearing the yoke. He's had it on his shoulder. He's been carrying, going about, saying, here's God's message. Please hear the warning. Please hear the warning. Please hear the warning. Hananiah comes to the fore and he says, you idiot. You don't need that. I'm going to take this off. And he broke it. And Jeremiah goes away, a defeated man. He lost. The court of public opinion, Hananiah's our man. Yes! Yes, Hananiah! You're our man! Let's go, Hananiah! Forget it! Look at that! The yoke is broken! Jeremiah goes away. Have you ever had a time when you stood for what God said and there was an upheaval against that and you were humiliated and sent away? All you can do is kind of crawl into the shadows. What do you do at a point like that? The account is given of the missionaries who had gone to Ecuador to reach the Aka Indians. And at that time, when Mrs. Yardumian received word that her husband had been killed, they had left everything, young, promising, aspiring. They had gone to the mission field to reach the Aka Indians. And there, they said there was one guy that had a t-shirt on and a pair of jeans, and they said that was only Roger. Word came to his wife that he had been found speared to death. She said, in those moments, when it felt like all the forces of hell were saying, you're a loser, look at this, you left the comforts of the United States, you left all those beautiful things, your family and everything, and here you are, and now you're a widow. And she said she was brought back to the reminder, no, God called us, God is, and God has a purpose. I will not speak in bitterness or resentment of the decision of the Lord to take my husband's life. I will not seek self-pity. I will press forward to serve the Lord. I really believe that that's the same attitude that we find expressed in Jeremiah here. In other passages that we've seen, Jeremiah struggled with the matter of self-pity. But here, in chapter 28, he comes back with a very different response. Look with me at verse 12. Jeremiah's second response. So point number four. Jeremiah's second response. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hanani the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet of Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hanani, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of those nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And they shall serve him, and I have given him the beast of the field also. Then Hananiah said to the, then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah, the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from the face of the earth this year. Thou shalt die because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. In Jeremiah's second response, you see, he says, forget the yoke of wood. Now there's a yoke of iron, a yoke of metal. It's something that will not be broken. Well, now you have two competing messages. One has said, within 2 years, everything's going to be peace and lovely and beautiful. And now one comes and says, within a year, because you have lied and because you have robbed the people of God, you're going to die. How can you tell which is going to be true? Well, turn with me to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. I believe that this is an echo, again, of the passage that we are just looking at in the Old Testament. Acts chapter 5, verses 38 and 39. I'll begin at verse 37. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed.
And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel of this word or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. In Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah had given his message as he believed he had it from God. Hananiah had countered him and sought to belittle him in front of the people. And now Jeremiah comes back and he says, no. He said, I do not back away. This is what God has spoken, and this is what we are accountable to, and we are required to follow. He said, you have made light of this. But he said, God's going to make light of you and of your activity. God's going to give a yoke of iron that you'll not be able to break off. So, who was true? Who was false? You had no way of knowing on that day, did you? We live in a different day and time. They didn't have a copy of the completed canon of Scripture. We today do. So we come back, and I consistently seek to say to you, dear ones, hold my feet to the fire. Show me from Scripture. If I'm wrong, I want to be corrected by Scripture. But if I'm right, then we all need to be corrected according to Scripture. Where does that come from? Well, that comes from the instruction of Scripture in terms of how we are to operate and how we are to function. So we come to our fifth and final point, God's final verdict. Turn back with me to Jeremiah chapter 28. God's final verdict, verse 17. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Whoops. Hey, in 2 years all is going to be peaceful and beautiful and wonderful. And Jeremiah ups the stakes and he says, God has said you're going to die for having deceived and lied to the people. You will face death. If we calculate correctly, it was approximately 2 months later that Hananiah dropped dead. He was done. God's final verdict was given. Now back in Acts chapter 5, we find the account in verses 1 through 11 of this couple that comes in before Peter. Ananias and Sapphira. And the thing that I have been struck by in studying for this is you find the name Hananiah in Jeremiah 28 and then Ananias in Acts chapter 5. Both lied and the Holy Spirit brought death to Hananiah within 2 months. But with Ananias, he brought death within minutes. I'm here to remind you that we deal with a sovereign God who we dare not play games with. The same God who ruled in Jeremiah's day is the same God who rules in our day. But what do you do for a man like Jeremiah? Look back with me at chapter 28 and verse 7. What does Jeremiah do in the midst of this? With all the odds against him and people belittling him and Jeremiah, you loser, so on. What does he say? Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all people. He goes ahead and he continues to preach and to teach the word of God and to call people to obedience to the God who is according to his word. You see, that is a reminder to me that in serving the Lord, it is not promised to be an easy path. When we follow Christ, it does not assure that all is going to go smoothly. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, to divide between truth and error. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 and 7, Jesus said, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars." There are going to be ongoing things in order that error be exposed and truth be advanced. In John 14, verse 27, he describes in terms of tribulation and suffering. But then he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And then in John chapter 16 and verse 33, he reminds his disciples again in that circumstance of saying, "You will face tribulation because of my name. You're going to follow me." But he says, "I will be with you. I'm going to walk with you through those circumstances." I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. How do we walk through such times? How do we face and encounter such times? Romans 5, verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Ah, dear ones, the reminder is that God provides a sustaining peace in the midst of the most difficult times, even though he brings tribulations and upheavals into our lives. God promises to walk with us, whether that be health, home, income, vocation, whatever that arena is. God promises to walk with you. He was with Jeremiah, and he will be with you if your faith and trust is placed in him. I conclude with Matthew chapter 11. Spoken about yoke, about taking his yoke, about wearing the yoke of wood or the yoke of metal. Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. And let us hear the final word of Jesus on this matter of the yoke wearing and yoke bearing. Matthew 11, verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." If you were called to walk around the streets of London wearing a yoke of iron, you may say, "That gets pretty heavy." And it would. And there'd be lots of people that would laugh. Maybe you would even make it in the Sun newspaper. Who knows? But Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's nothing better, dear ones, than identifying with Christ. And there's nothing more dangerous than resisting the work of Christ according to his word. Let us pray. We come, our Father, unto you and thank you for this Lord's Day and for this portion from your word. Lord, we live in a time of competing voices, of those that have their ideas and their agendas, and they are in the face of your word. They ignore your word. They have no appetite for it, but they are determined to find their own method of success and winning and triumph. O Lord, as you were with Jeremiah, so walk with your children today and give to each one courage to believe and trust you and obey you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.